Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community. I see a generation standing on the truth in each and every nation. God is on the move.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul and someone says, send me, here I go. I know.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to another Sunday Night Live. We're so glad that you have joined us. You know, tonight's going to really be a good one. At least I think it is. I hope it's a strength to you in your marriage, and it's a blessing and an encouragement. James and I actually had an opportunity to share this last Wednesday night at Cornerstone Church at their conference titled "You Don't Complete Me." So we want to let you listen to that. Also, I want to remind you, if you'd like to go back and listen to any of the past messages for that whole conference, you can go into our website, which is SundayNightLive.org, and you can go down and you can click on the Cornerstone Church link, and it will take you to their website where you can find all of our past messages. But I'm going to leave you with this message. I pray it's a blessing to you and a strength in your marriage, and we just hope you enjoy this.
So if marriage is so much work, you know, why do we all seek to be married? Why do we not just stay single and have to worry about ourselves? You know, it seems like it might be simpler if we just stayed single, right? I just have to please myself, but we all have that desire to get married. And God put that in us because that was the first thing that God said, and God made everything, and everything he made, he said, this is good. This is good. The very first thing that God said was not good that he made, and that was in Genesis 2:16. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. That's the first thing that God seen that was not good, was for us to be alone. The translation for that word man is human, as in human being, not man. So women can't be alone either. It's not good for women to be alone either. The human species was made. God said they need that partner. They need that someone to complete them, maybe, to make us whole.
No, you don't complete me.
That's what exactly the title is.
That's right.
But that's the reason for marriage, is to be the example, as we're the bride of Christ. So we don't complete each other, but it gives us an example of how we're going to complete, Christ is going to complete us when we get to our
destination.
Husband, I guess. Don't sound like me to say man's having a husband, but anyway, we're the bride of Christ. So, but that's what our marriage is for.
So our marriage is a representation of being a bride of Christ.
Right.
And the word says that how a husband is to treat his wife is how Jesus treats his church.
That's right.
And that's kind of what we want to talk about a little bit. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. But we seek that. We seek that. We desire that. Like, I was watching some stupid movie. I don't know what it's called. But you have to rig the TV's on. You don't really watch it, but it's on. And it was a college. These kids had made a college, right? And so they're like, we're going to teach. So they asked all the kids, what'd you come to college for? What do you want to learn? And the guys were all like, girls, to meet girls, to meet girls, to meet the girls. And the guys were like, to meet all the cute guys, to meet the guys, to meet the guys. And so I thought, well, you know, that's at that age, you know, right? Yes, we don't really know it, maybe, right? That's we're seeking that the one, right? But we are, whether we do it, go about however we go about it, you know what I mean? It's in there. Some of us, it's different ways, but because God put that in us to have that fullness and have that marriage, because he says to leave your mom and dad and be joined together with your wife. And so that's been put in us from God. That's why we have that desire. We don't all go about it the right way, and most of it go about it the wrong way. But and I was thinking about this. I thought, so why did we all get married? You know what I mean? Like, why do we seek that marriage if it's so much work? And I thought, How much of us got in more trouble and did more stupid stuff when you were single than when you were married?
Let's see a show of hands.
Yeah. We got two, three.
Some
honest,
of you are not telling the
people,
truth. So, okay.
You know what I mean? But it's, so yeah, we're probably better off. We'll live longer married unless you put it in front of your spouse.
It's actually, both of you know, one of my son is married and the other one's about to be married. And so I've been beginning to see, I won't point either one of them out, but I'm beginning to see that now that they have that spouse, the way they talk to me is different, and even kind of the way they treat their family is different, because there's something that happens when you bring two different people with two different personalities together. You mesh together, and it works good. God intended for that to be good. He intended for that to be something that you worked out together, that you don't complete each other, but you help each other reach the fullness of what God has for you.
Yes. But we were talking about this with kids earlier. Just because if you when you come into marriage, your example for marriage is what your mom and dad was. Basically, that's what you get, okay? Like it or not, possibly grandparents, but what you see growing up, that's in your mind. That's what marriage is. You don't know anything any different. She came from that same way, right? And she just realized this the other night when we were talking about this. She's like, oh, that's why I was like that. So, but her dad, yeah, she's already won't talk. Her dad was not very good to her mom, okay? Like he was physically abusive and mentally abusive. And so when we got together, she was just wanting me to do the same thing. She was ready. Go ahead, tell them.
Oh, I thought you wanted to tell your side first.
That's the only side I ever took.
Yes, he's right. My dad was very abusive. He was very abusive to my mother and actually to us kids. And so I can remember growing up, the one thing I wanted was I wanted to be a wife. I'm like, I think about that now. I'm like, why? Because maybe because I saw how my mom got treated and she didn't stand up for herself. I don't know, but I really wanted to be a wife. And I really identified a lot with Taylor's story, too, about I take care of myself. You know what I'm saying? I don't need no man. And sure enough, I thought, no man. Have you ever seen the movie The Burning Bed? Watch out, buddy, because if something happens, the bed's going to be burning. No, but that was it. He wasn't going to. I came in with guns a-blazing from the very beginning, and this man never showed me one hint of being physically abusive to me, mean to me, nothing. But I went in with that lens that's how husbands treat their wives, and that he was not going to do that. I'm like, I will pick up a iron skillet and knock him over the head with it. And I went in with that. And so with that being said, one of the words I threw around a lot was divorce. You don't like it, you can just leave. You can hit the road. It's my way or the highway. And that's really how the first couple of years of our marriage were. Is James had to listen to me threatening the divorce all the time. Well, not only that, my parents themselves, I'm not going to count the other marriages they had, just my parents, okay, so you know where I'm coming from. Married and divorced, just my parents, married and divorced 3 times. Divorce was an option. I didn't like it, didn't work, guess what? Move on next one. You know what? You don't like it? Leave. This is how it's going to be, buddy. And James had to put up with that.
I knew I had to give her grace because slow learner was in her bloodline. After 3 times married the same person, I'm like, I'm getting divorced once. I'm not going back.
I was
to
about
to
say how you love me unconditionally.
Oh, I do.
And all of this stuff. And you got to say that.
I'm just saying. Your parents weren't the brightest. But anyway.
But look, they gave you me.
I'm telling you, they did good. They did good. Yeah, her dad actually was fixing to come up here and shoot her mom in the stomach when she was pregnant with her at one time. So, yeah, thank God she made it.
Well, you know, since you brought that up, I want to tell a story. Okay, because yeah, actually, were you guys here Sunday morning? Here, Sonia's message, wasn't that a good message Sunday morning? And talking about going back and looking back at your life and seeing God, how God has been at work in your life. And to me, that was the very instance I remember and knowing that God worked in my life as my mom was pregnant with me. And my dad did not want any more kids. And he told my, and James kind of got the story right, but he told my mom, that he didn't want me, and he wanted to stick a knife in her stomach, and he wanted to turn it. And they were arguing, and it was a two-story house, and he said, you know what, he wasn't going to go get a gun. Well, my sister is older than me. She was up, obviously. I haven't been born yet. So she's upstairs, and she's playing in the bedroom, and my mom doesn't know what to do. She's frozen downstairs in the kitchen, and all she said was, Lord, help me. And my mom's not a real strong Christian, but she had the family Bible. Y'all, you know the big family Bible is always on the kitchen table. But anyway, she said, Lord, help me. And my dad went upstairs, and he couldn't find the gun. And it was kept. He always kept it in that one spot, you know, the hiding spot, and it wasn't there. And so I believe God saved my life that day from my father, and that kind of gets you an idea of where the basis of the physical abuse, you know, the validity of all of that. But it's true. God goes back to the very beginning, and he has brought us to a time for such a time as this. I love that. I love that scripture, that it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes I think about maybe we're born in different times. Like, I wish I was in the Westerns, or, you know, however we all say that. God brought you up for such a time as this, and he gave your spouse for you to help you for such a time as this.
That's right. And so, I mean, some of y'all have already heard this story, but when I was, don't think I'm perverted, okay, because she was just 12. But I was on 16, okay, so not that bad. So when I was 16, she was about 12. She started becoming
growing up.
Growing out more, but, we went to church, right? But, and I didn't really know what to do, but I would pray at night. God, make her love me. You know, the whole, I'll never ask for anything else. Just give me her. Make her love me.
So that's how I got here.
And it worked. See? And I didn't know nothing you could call things that be not. I never knew none of that stuff, but I'm telling you, it works. You know, she's here. And she's stuck with me now. So anyway, and so when I opened my phone, we can talk about our phones. I opened my phone, you know, it's got her picture on it, right? And my God, I hear Psalms 37:4. Every time I see that, is God will give you the desires of your heart. I mean, I've been her desire, but she was mine, so too bad. I come first, but I still got it. And so anyway, that's how we kind of went. It finally worked. God made her, come on, go on. But
are you waiting for me to respond on that?
No, you don't get no choice. I've done made that for us. So I did that already. That worked. So, you know, I don't know how it worked for other people, but it worked for me. And I did. I don't know. I just always had that. You know what I mean? I don't know. Since I was 16, she was always the one. I don't know. So
going back to talking about, I used to always throw out the word divorce. I've used it like it. The word wasn't that. You know what I mean? To me, it's a really strong word for me now. And actually, to me, there's a lot of saddening emotions that go with the word divorce. But at that time, that wasn't the case. And so James came to me one day and was telling me, and so do you want to tell him that part?
Well, I just told her, I said, you really would get a divorce over, you know, nothing, whatever, you know what I mean? I didn't pick up some laundry or whatever, you know what I mean? Whatever, something stupid. I said, you would really get a divorce over something so stupid? Something so small, like, you know, I don't, and you say it all the time. She's like, well, I don't really mean a divorce. I said, well, then what do you mean? Because every time you tell me that you would divorce me, it just crushes my heart. I just, you know what I mean? It just kill me in another, I don't know another word, right? I'll just be devastated. And she just go on like it wasn't nothing. And finally, I told her, I said, listen, if that's what you want, we can do it. But I don't, you know, either quit talking about it or be about it. You know, something just don't throw that out there. I don't want to feel this, you know, stuff.
And so it was a threat, right? I mean, it was a threat. It was a manipulation. It was a control in our marriage. And when he came to me and he told me that, oh, man, it broke my heart. And I did not realize how it was affecting him. And that is where my life had changed, because then I began to go to God, because I knew something was wrong in here. And I went to God, and I just, Lord, help me. And that's when my relationship with God began to grow, and I used to pray, Lord, help me to be the wife that you want me to be. Help me to be quiet when I need to be quiet. Help me to say something when I need to say something. And I began to seek what God wanted for me to be versus trying to threaten my husband all the time and control him and everything. And hopefully that's where things started to change.
Yeah, that's when we, like I said, I had noticed a change in her. I didn't really know what it was. You know what I mean? But I could tell that, you know, she wasn't being so, I don't know, aggressive maybe. I don't know the word. But she, you know, she wasn't throwing that out there. She wasn't so defensive. It wasn't like she was trying to get me to do something wrong type stuff attitude. You know what I mean? And that's when we started growing together and becoming more friends. And that's kind of what we're talking about tonight, is that friendship with your wife. You know, not just your spouse, not just your mate, but your best friend, you know. And that's where we've grown to. It took a lot, right? And we're getting there, but we're best friends now, and that's just so much better than being just mates and just spouses. But it took, like he said, it takes work. It took a lot of work, but we finally got that. She started really getting drawn to God, and it was a little later for us. Of course, you know, I think most times, us men, we lag behind a little most of the time. But
can I pick on you for a little bit?
You can.
I want to encourage you ladies tonight, or husbands, if you have a spouse that is not following God or seeking after God, continue to be the spouse that God has called you to be. At that particular time in our marriage, James was not seeking God. And he grew up in the church, but he wasn't seeking God. And what is one thing that a woman wants? She wants security in her husband, right? And she wants, and especially if you're a Christian, you want your husband to be the spiritual leader of the home. You don't want to have to be that. And sometimes, ladies, we take that role, and we don't allow our husbands to take that role. So you got to think, where am I at in that process? But remind me, what was I saying?
I have no idea. Who's the leader in your home?
Who's the leader?
Who's
okay.
The spiritual
There's
leader?
Something good, y'all. I'm sorry. Sometimes it just.
Welcome to James's world. All right. We'll move on. It'll come back.
Oh, shoot. No, I really had something good to say.
I know you did.
Okay, go ahead. It'll come back.
I know you did.
I'll interrupt you when it does.
All right. All right, then. Family. What's the song? Family Tradition. All right. No, that's songs. That's what we're going to talk about next, is songs. Because we have that special song, right? Like our phones, you might have your special ringtone for your wife, you know?
Well, that's part of the work, okay? And before you go into the songs...
You come back to you.
I know, but I have something else I'm going to say. Okay. One of the things, too, I wanted to go back is I was reminded... Everybody knows the love scripture, right? In 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. We all know that. We have a plaque on our wall saying that or whatever, and we try to remember that. But one of them really, really, really shines out to me, especially this morning when I was reading it, and it's not easily provoked. Love is not easily provoked. And if you, going back to what I was talking about at the beginning of our marriage, I was easily provoked. It did not take much of anything to get me provoked. And really, I didn't until to this morning I read that verse. Is how do you treat your wife? How do you treat your spouse? Can they say anything and then you blow up? Are you easily provoked? Do they have to walk on eggshells around you? Are you someone that they can sit down and be comfortable with to share whatever they want to share with and know that you're going to keep their secrets? Are you what kind of friend? And that goes along with being a friend. Okay, so let's just think about a friend that maybe you might have had in high school or friends you may have now. You tell some of your deepest, darkest secrets, right? But you knew and you only told them because you trusted them and you had a friend. That's what your spouse is to be for you today, is your friend. But are you being approachable? And it's the little things that we do in our marriage that make a difference. When you walk through the kitchen or you walk through the house, and they are somewhere where you want to walk, do you just bump them out of the way and say, hey, get out of the way, I need over there? Or do you say, excuse me, can I get over there? Do you treat them like you would treat a stranger? Do you give them same courtesy that you would give them as you would anybody else? Or because they're your spouse and you live with them, they should just know better. Do you ever say, well, they shouldn't just know. Do you ever say, well, my wife, she should just know that that's how I feel about it? Or do you say, my husband, he should already know how I feel about that? Is that the attitude that you have? And it's the little things that we do in our marriage that make a difference. And it's the little things that begin to pile up that causes the wall. And this is one of the things that we were going to talk about that is a little thing that can help strengthen. And it may sound silly, may sound stupid, but go ahead. I'm going to pass it over.
Oh, okay. No, but the songs, we have like a ringtone for our spouse. It's just that ringtone just for them so that when it rings, you know it's your spouse calling, you know. Those songs, you know, like that, we put that there because it means something, you know what I mean, to us. That's, you know what I mean? That song means a lot. When she calls, it's, oh, yeah, sometimes I listen to the song where it says, you're my best friend. And she's like, what? Hang up. But anyway, so hey.
What?
You call and I wait for the song. I listen to the song because I want to hear it more. So you're about to hang up. So
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
You know you have it on vibrate all the time.
I do. I hardly ever have my phone on.
We as women need the ahs, don't we? We want the ahs.
That's right.
I want to add to that.
Add to it.
Also, going a little bit farther, looking at your telephone, James used to have his horse on his background. Given it died, and I know it was a sad story, but I was like, wonder why I don't have my picture on there. You know, I'm his woman, right? I mean, you know, I should be important. Well, a little bit later, he ended up getting it on there. But we notice the little things. Ladies, if you notice the little things, raise your hand. We notice those things, and those are the things that keep us going. Those are the things that know that you love us, that it's the little things like that. We don't need we don't mind diamonds, but we don't need the diamonds, okay? We want ringtones. We want those little things.
That diamond, that brings me, that's kind of like the old, brings me to the thing, makes me think of the next video. Talking about songs, just play that second video, it's a song.
I did the choreography myself.
Hey, honey, have you gained some weight in your rear end? The dress you wear reminds me of my old girlfriend. And where'd you get those shoes? I think they're pretty lame. Would you stop talking, 'cause I'm trying to watch the game. If you're a man who wants to live a long and happy life, these are the things you don't say to your wife. I planned a hunting trip next week on your birthday. I didn't ask you, but I knew it'd be okay. Go make some dinner while I watch this fishing show. I taped it over our old wedding video. If you're a man who've done that, a long and happy life, these are the things you do to you
solo. Okay.
Your cooking is okay, but not like mother makes. The diamond in the ring I bought you is a fake. Your eyes look puffy, dear. Are you feeling ill? Happy anniversary, I bought you a treadmill. You're a man who wants to live a long and happy life, that too. These are the things you don't say to me. You're a man who doesn't want to get killed with a knife. These are the things you don't say to me.
Amen, right. Ladies. Don't good, say that to your wife.
Pretty good list right there, too, I think. Yeah.
If that is you and you have said those things to your wife,
repent.
Quickly. Go to them and ask for forgiveness.
Of course, the treadmill thing, you know, I don't know. That could be, I want a treadmill, so.
Well, that's different. They ask for it.
Yeah, okay. Make sure they ask.
All right.
Don't make it look like a hint. Moving on.
What's your next point?
I don't know. I don't really know after that. sometimes we're getting low on time. This may take longer than I thought it. But
I'll keep interrupting you. I won't anymore.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about this. When we were traveling when I was a kid, and this ties in with marriage later. But when we traveled when I was a kid, we got in the car with Dad, and you stop when you needed gas. If you had to pee, you just better have a cup. And you just went in the cup. Because you didn't stop. We just drove. And so when we got together, traveling was, I hated it. I hated going anywhere because, and that's the way I did too. I did the same thing. Like I said, I didn't know any better. I just knew what I was taught when I was a kid. So that's how you travel. You don't stop. And so we went to Wyoming. Damn, you're getting evil, I think.
My eyeballs turned yellow. Yeah.
So we are going to Wyoming, right? Us and the kids were loaded up. She's got snacks and stuff in the back. I'd worked all night that night. And as soon as I got off that morning, she had everything loaded and we took off. And so we're driving, and so we wake me up in Kansas, whatever, right? We had lunch and stuff, and so we went on. And so anyway, so the boy driving, and the boy, you get a big Gatorade bottle. That's the perfect thing to, right, you know. So the boys are like 6 or 7, probably, maybe 6 or 7. Presley's 9, probably 10. So anyway, so we're traveling. The boys think this is the greatest thing ever. I need some more to drink so I can go pee in this bottle. They're just peeing in the Gatorade bottle back there. Just, oh yeah, look, I made this much. They're just loving it. And so Presley's like, hey, I need to go. So we pull over, find a store. She's ticked. She's like, I want to go in a bottle like my brothers. We're like, honey, we didn't bring a funnel. It don't work that way. But she was upset, but she got over it, okay? But it was a good trip. So anyway, and then later on down the road, we're riding Harley's. We're riding with John of Benefield. John used to have a motorcycle that would go 135 miles on tank. Now, if you went 136, you're either rolling downhill or pushing. See? That was it. That's all you got. So every 100 miles, we stopped for fuel, right? And we're like, come on, man. We just stopped, you know. You're kind of like on John Travolta.
You were saying that.
You're feeling like your old John Travolta on the Wild Hogs. Come on, man. I just want to ride. But we started doing that. Like every 100 miles, you'd stop. And we thought, hey, this is all right here. You know, you can stop, stretch your legs, you know. And we was going, one time we were going down south, and we stopped. Only the quick stops they had all the way down there was like Allsup's. And it's like a cardinal sin not to stop at Allsup's and get an Allsup burrito. But I tell you what, don't stop every 100 miles and get an Allsup burrito. That's a long night. Okay? Not good. Switch it up. Okay? But we learned in that we were forced to do it, right? We were forced to stop every 100 miles. We learned that is awesome. Now when we travel, it's more of, hey, let's stop and look at this. And you're just like, okay, you just pull over and stop and see what you want to see. You don't drive like the trip to Wyoming. They had whatever dinosaurs. Oh, let's stop and look. No. It's not on the list. We don't need gas. We let so much of that, when we live our life that way, We get in that mindset of, let's just get to the end of our life. Let's get to the end of the marriage. Let's get the kids out of the house, and then we'll start doing this and all this stuff. Amen. Yeah. Okay. But so it's the stop and enjoy the ride. You know what I mean? And in your marriage, you know, stop and enjoy that. Don't just try to get through the day and get through the end of the week. You know what I mean? Enjoy your wife. Tell your wife you love her every day, whatever. You know what I mean? The simple stuff, the small stuff is what matters. And in riding that, I seen a little meme that said, I think it was Matthew McConaughey in a Lincoln commercial, you know, where he's smiling. The guy's proud of this, right? And it said, that's not an exact quote, but it said basically, he says, I just completely wasted another full day of my very short life on this planet. He didn't do nothing to work all day, basically, right? And the meme was saying that. And I was like, how many days or days in our marriage, in this case, for what we're talking about, do we totally and always 100% waste that day that we didn't spend it with her? You know, we can't spend it with our spouse all the time. A lot of us work, like me, I'm gone half the time, or whatever. But, you know, you could text them or call them or something. Something in that day that you should make that marriage stronger, you know what I mean? And call them and text them or tell them that you love them or kiss them or something, you know what I mean? So we try to go through that life and we rush it. And a lot of times we don't stop for the simple stuff. And how much better would the life be if you do all the little simple stuff, you know? When you see your wife in the morning, whatever, you kiss her or whatever it is before you leave, or you send her that text in the middle of the day, you know what I mean? It's that little stuff like that, that we don't waste that day, that we enjoy our ride.
That's right. And it actually reminds me of a story I'm going to tell tell on Sonia. I got her permission. She said I could tell her. But that was her nickname, Aaron's nickname for her in the very beginning. And you can correct me if I get this wrong, but in the very beginning of their marriage was tight cheeks, because she was always uptight. And she, you know, was always worried about this. And, you know, Aaron don't walk really fast. And, like, you'd be getting out and going off and leaving him. And so it's like, what is your demeanor towards your spouse? Are you always just, and you get what I'm saying by me doing this, right?
Tight cheeks.
Are you tight cheeks? Or are you relaxing, and are you taking that moment? Okay, right now we're not getting along very well.
She's looking at me.
You know, how is your attitude at home? One thing that I've noticed is that if you end up getting upset with your spouse for saying something you didn't like, I'm trying to come up with something, and then anytime
hard
they
hard to come up with something.
Actually, I'm honoring you by not telling them.
It's hard.
Anyway, when that happens, someone says something, you begin to have that initial attitude. So when they come back to talk to you, not with any intentions of coming at you, but you perceive it that way because you're already ticked off because of the last thing that they said. And it's, how is your demeanor at home with your spouse? How are you responding to them? And it's the little things that matter. I can't express that enough. It's because we always think that our divorce led into this big thing that had happened into our marriage. No, it was like me. It was the little things. It's the little things that make the next thing a little bit bigger, that makes the next thing a little bit bigger. And like I said before you know it, there's a wall. There's a wall between you and your spouse. And now we've got this wall here that we have to work on getting that wall down. And it can come down. It can come down. I wanted to say this real quick, because when we were singing that song, it was talking about the same old fight we have in our life, but do you have that same old fight with your spouse? There's usually that one same old fight, that one thing. It's always that one thing we go back to that we just can't seem to agree on. Or that one thing that just always, if it comes up, it just causes a nerve. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yes. So, thank you.
I don't.
You don't? Yeah, right. Anyway, it's that one fight. But look, how are you handling now? You know that definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result?
Like getting married three times to the same woman?
Is that our timer
it's
to stop?
It's insanity. I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so... It's gone.
I did it again, didn't I?
Oh, same old fight. Okay. Seek God in all you do.
Amen. I put that meme up, Andrew. We have this meme that I think she sent it to me a long time ago, but we've kept it. And it's, can y'all read that?
Okay, if you can't tell in the background, it's an old lady and man, and it says, when we get to the end of our lives together, the house we had, the cars we drove, the things we possessed won't matter. What will matter is that I had you and you had me. And that's what matters, is that you have your spouse and your spouse has you. And so that all goes back to in your relationship. We get upset. Look, things are going to happen. If you think you're going to get married like James thinks that he's perfect, guess what? Things are going to happen. That's just it. That's how it goes. You are not going to be able to live together for a long period of time and not have a disagreement. Just get ready for it. It's going to happen. You have come from two different worlds, and you're trying to make one world together. So if you go into a relationship thinking that you are having an argument, or you're getting upset, or you don't agree with something, and so then you're like, well, we're just never going to make it. That's not true. that is normal. That is okay. Those are the things that you work out through together. That way you don't have the same old fight. That way you don't keep going back to the same old thing. You deal with that as you go along.
Yeah, none of us were raised, you know, you didn't have the exact same upbringing in a marriage, in a home. If you had the exact same example what marriage looked like as your spouse, you married your sister or your brother, okay? That's just, keep that in mind. Be glad they're not the same, okay?
Ew.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So be grateful for those differences.
And so,
because you have different, no one's the same.
And because of that, we're not the same. Your marriage is not a failure when you have a confrontation. Your marriage is not a failure when you don't agree. Your marriage is not a failure if you feel like you want to choke them. Because that happens.
Yeah.
We want to choke you sometimes. And that is okay. That is normal.
Wow. I don't know.
It's whether or not you follow through, okay?
How far do you go? Like, just get the hands there or just no pressure?
Well, you know this tendon right here? If you just squeeze that, it kind of can bring you to your knees. Well, I don't know. You're just... But no, really... I think sometimes we get the reality, we think that when we get into our marriage, okay, that God has given me this great, awesome person. I'm going to be married to him and this is going to be happy. We're going to be happy the rest of our life and everything is going to be so, so good. And then when something happens and what, we fall off the chair and we think it's over. And that's not the case. It's work.
Work.
It's work. Everybody say that. It's work.
Work.
It is work.
I wonder where that lie started. Why do we all get told it's all happy-go-lucky when you're kids? Who tells us that? Your kids? Your Disney? Oh, I've already canceled Disney.
Hallmark.
I'm like, where do we get that from? You know what I mean? Because, like...
Hallmark. Look.
I didn't get nothing from Hallmark, okay? I'm sorry.
Anyway, so... That is our point. Is... How are you treating each other at home? It's the little things. It's okay when you have a confrontation. Look, talk about how you believe. Talk about how the other person believes and try to come to an agreement how we can make our beliefs come together and work. And that's okay. That is normal. That is okay. Those things are going to happen. That's how you learn to live together with each other. That's how you're able to go to bed without choking them.
So plus you can't make up if you don't ever fight.
And then you get to make up. There you go.
Yeah, I knew there was a positive to it.
That's right. That's right. So one thing I'm going to need... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'll start a fight pretty quick.
I'm a sure thing, honey.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, meeting adjourned. Right.
Anyway, my face is turning red.
You're the one that said it. I didn't say nothing. Hey... I said nothing. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That is swapped over, didn't it?
Okay, so let me change gears here.
Please.
One of the things that James did, and he came to me, and this is what really blessed me, but I forget how long we were married, but he said, he was gone working, and he said, I want you to make a list of 5 things that I can do for you that says I love you. And it's practical things. And so I'm like, okay, hey, that's pretty all right. Okay. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you do the same thing? And he had him made his list and we exchanged lists. And then it's a totally different list because Taylor knows what's on the list. Okay. And so we changed the list. We exchanged lists and we said, okay, we're going to try to make a point to try to, do something on that list as often as we could so that we can communicate to each other that we do love them. Because how many of you know what, and that's why Taylor's laughing, what says I love you to me is not the same thing that says I love you to him. And let's just be real. We're laughing here, but a lot of times, and it's nothing against you. I know God made men this way, but it tends to be more of a physical relationship. And so women, don't hold that from your husband. That physical relationship is that right in your marriage, and that needs to be taken care of. And the same as in the flip side, men, offer her that love that she needs. Offer her that those little ways Because I promise you, when you do those things during the day, come nighttime, you're going to be happy. I promise you. It's a circle and it's a two-way street. And we're laughing, but how many of you know that that's true?
She's trying to take this from G-rated up. We're in church.
Hey, you know what? Life is real. And if we don't talk to each other in church about how we need to treat our spouse, even in those, even in our physical relationship, where are we going to talk about it? We got to start here. And so that's what, that's part of our relationship with our spouse. So you have homework. So if you guys didn't hear what she said, she's talking about when, you know, it's been a few days and there hasn't been a physical relationship and there starts to be some bickering and you're easily upset with each other. If you will come together in that physical relationship and join that marriage, that will begin to take care of all of that other thing, all of that. There's something that happens. God designed us to be that in our relationship with each other. And there's something about going and having that physical relationship with your spouse to continue to keep the openness and the oneness and the closeness in there. And it's not just for men. We say that the men need the physical. It's for the women also, too. And you may think that's not you, but really it is. Because it's a different thing for women. Women receive something in that physical relationship. And so that's true. And so thank you for bringing that up. And with that being said, we have a few more minutes. And if anybody has any questions that they would like to ask James and I about our relationship or about marriage in general or a question about anything, we can open the floor up and we will do our best. Okay.
How long have we been married? 31 years. So probably. Okay. So we would sit up at night and she would tell me stuff. Right. And it was some of that deep stuff. But, and I never, you know, we'd be up all night listening really what I was doing. And she was telling and but to hear it and whatnot, right, was pretty early, I would say, within the first 2 or 3 years. But that's how we started growing, really, to be honest. When we initially started, because she went through so much as a, you know what I mean? She was, you know.
Well, and he's trying not to say much. Some of you have heard my testimony, and I have had two abortions in my life, and I've had to overcome the shame of that in my life. And that was one of the things that was at the beginning that I told him about. But that God used that, and that's where I want to make another point. But God used that when we would stay up at night and we would talk late at night. I would tell him those things, and he wouldn't say anything. But it was so healing to me to just tell him everything and to tell him the circumstances and of everything that's going on. And we opened up like that in the beginning. But say later in our marriage, when we get upset, and I'm assuming that's what you're talking about, something's upsetting you, it's hard sometimes. And actually, there has been times when I've wanted to talk to James about something that I knew I wasn't going to like his response, or I knew that he wasn't going to like what I had to say, but I knew that I had to tell him because I didn't want to keep secrets from him. I had to pray for a couple of days before I did it. And once I did that, then I would, one of the things that was on my list of what says I love you to me is have coffee with me in the mornings, because I like to visit. I want to know, you know, let's talk. And so that would, one morning, so usually a lot of times is what happened is after praying for several days, or I know he's coming home from work, okay, I'm going to get ready because I know I need to talk about this. And so it is hard to open up to your spouse about things that we know you're going to be upset about. I know what upsets James. I know what he doesn't like. I know what can throw him in a tailspin. And so does he know with me. And so it is hard. But in order for the relationship to remain strong, you have to pray and you have to be open in those instances. And then spouses, on the flip side, when your spouse is being willing to be open to you, be graceful with them. They're just trying to be honest so that they can move past this moment.
And I don't think in the very early beginning, you know, she would tell me stuff, and then later it was like, okay, there's a little bit more to the story. I didn't quite tell you all of it. And so as we grew, you know, down as the closer you grow together, the more it comes out. And some of it she had just suppressed and didn't remember, you know what I mean? But I think we started pretty early, though, as far as talking about it, because she had a lot of issues with you know, her childhood and stuff. And once he seen that I wasn't judging her and stuff, it made it better.
And that was part of my healing process. God sent me a man that loved me unconditionally, and I didn't have a father. My father loved me with conditions, and so that's what was hard for me in my marriage relationship. So, any other questions?
That answer that, I mean.
We like to answer questions. Come on, make it hard. Give us a hard one. Nobody?
She was raped at 12, right? One of her abortions, she was raped at 12, and I swore I'd kill the guy because I knew him. If I ever seen him again, I'd kill him. Never thought twice about it. When was it we seen him? At your aunt's funeral.
Well, the kids are already grown and out of the house.
My kids were grown when I seen him, so I was like, she's like, you know who that is? I said, oh, I know who that is. But I found Jesus by now. No, it really wasn't even that. It was the fact that he was on dope so bad that I figured I'd be doing him a favor, so I'm just going to let him suffer. So, Anyway. I'm not much on love with that guy, okay?
So I have homework for you guys. I want any questions because I want to be an open book to you. If there's anything that James and I can be a help to be a strength to you in your marriage, I know a lot of times we think we're the only ones that are going through this. We're the only ones that can't get our crap together. Why can't we get along? Why don't we both like pasta? He does not like pasta. He can't eat Olive Garden. What's wrong with you, man?
Don't get me started.
Guess what? You're different, and that's okay. And so, any other questions? I mean, you can ask us a personal question. Yes. Yes. Still to this day. That, and so, she's at, for those of you that didn't hear the question, she said, what happened to me when I was 12? Does that affect my relationship today? And the answer is yes. From the very... We don't have any kids in here. Are y'all okay if I'm just straightforward and honest here and just raw? And especially in the very beginning of our marriage, this poor man, I would just cry because that's what I could think about. That's what would go through my mind. And I would begin to pray and I would say, Lord, help me. And please don't think bad of me when I say this. Because God, I'm like, Lord, help me to want this. Help me to want my spouse the way he needs me to want him. And that began a journey of inner healing with me. And even now to this day, I think God has really worked a lot in me concerning the trauma with the sexual part of it. But now I have some physical things that's coming out now and Taylor, just y'all just so blessed me last week with when you shared, and the things that Taylor said just really brought back some things for me, and that is what I was sharing with Annette. And it's knowing that my dad would go off in an uproar and start beating people, go off in a rampage. I don't know how to call it. And so what happens is if anybody now, and I don't know why, and I really haven't told James much about it, because it's something I've really noticed now, is if someone raises their voice or gets a little, it's almost like it will bring me back to that, oh, my gosh, I'm about to get beat. Or something about to happen. So yes, it did, and it still affects me sometimes. Sometimes the physical relationship, yes, I still have to walk past through some of that. But God has and can do a work in you. And so if that is you, if there is a problem with your physical relationship because of some past trauma, I would recommend it's okay. Go talk to somebody about it. It's okay because God doesn't intend for you to live like that in those situations. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And we were more than welcome anybody to talk to. Not that we, the gurus, can fix it, but we'll be more than
But we can.
Happy
we know
help.
A God that can.
Yeah. God does
And that's
it.
What we have to know is God can.
Yeah.
And even when it looks hopeless, God can. God can.
Yeah.
Just ask him. He'll show you if you'll just listen. Are there any other questions? I don't want to rush anybody. If there's anything you want to ask, I know somebody's got a question.
Probably like when they're going to shut up and leave.
Probably. All right, no questions. All right, so you got homework, okay?
Five. At least three.
Three?
At least three.
At least three. Go home. Don't even discuss it with your spouse. Make a list of at least three, but if you can come up with five, at least three things that your spouse can do for you that says, I love you. Now, I'm going to give you some examples. I love going to the movies. So I said, take me to the movies. Another one's have coffee. Now, that's my list. His list was a little bit different, but that's okay. So take that list, exchange your list, okay, and then be intent in doing something on that list at least once, if not more, a week. We need that in our marriage. It's going, what says I love you to each other is different. And we know the love languages. If you haven't taken the love languages test, go take that test and then tell your spouse, hey, this is my love language. And a lot of times what you do for your spouse is your love language. So if you haven't figured that out already, that's what your love language is.
Right.
Did you have anything else?
Nope.
All right. So we need to figure out who our winners are. Or did you have a question, Taylor?
I have a question.
Okay. Drum roll. Delise Atwood. Woohoo! So we've got a prize up here for you, a heart waffle maker.
Heart waffle maker.
A mini heart waffle maker, yes. And if you would get up in the mornings and make me a mini heart waffle, I would eat it.
I might make you a full-size waffle, but I'm not doing nothing mini. Come on.
I would take a waffle any size.
A waffle, I could eat what's left you don't eat. See?
Okay.
So, come on, mini.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for giving us your attention. We want to pray for you. And if you want us to pray with you tonight, we'll hang out a little bit afterwards, and you can come talk to us. And actually, James, you had something you were going to talk to single people, didn't you? And you kind of
Well, I was just talking about when God says it's good for us to not be
alone.
Yeah, God put that in us. We make too many mistakes when we're alone.
Okay, but, yeah. So that's right. But if you're single and you're still waiting and still wanting and looking for that spouse, it's okay.
Paul says it's better if you're not married, but if you can't. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being single. Jesus was single.
There's not. And God can still work in you if you're
sure.
single.
Yeah,
God can work with you. All you have to do is go to him. That is one. I don't know if you saw what I posted on Facebook last week. And I said, if you want to hear from God, just make an appointment and show up. Because he's going to talk to you. And what do I mean by that? Okay, Lord, I want to get with you right now. I need some help in this area. Or I need you to strengthen me and I need you to help me. Go to him. Keep your appointment. And then when you're there, listen. And when he tells you, do what he says. And so it is okay. It's okay to be single. God can use you single. God can use you married. God can heal you single. God can heal you in your marriage.
If you're single, you're in. Now listen, there is nothing better than being married to the man that I'm married to. But when I think of singleness, I think there is a time and a preparation that you have right now to prepare yourself to be the best, to be the best husband, to be the best wife that you can be. Because just like they said, guess what? Hell's coming for you. And I love Aaron, and Aaron is phenomenal. And I know that man loves me, and he thinks I'm phenomenal. But the truth is just like they said, we were raised 100% different. And so it's in the preparation of singleness that you get shored up of who you are in Christ. So that when that fight comes, I'm okay. I'm okay because I know I am his, and I know this man has chosen me.
I was actually in the car thinking about this week because I knew that they were going to wrap this up, and we didn't really get a chance to listen to very much from single partner, you know, they've been married for 20-something years, and everybody that's spoken has been married besides Marianne, and she's gone through her own mess things. And one of the things that she pointed out most was making sure that your relationship with God is it. If that's on the right path, then the other stuff will come if it's supposed to. Tim was single for 10 years. And he prayed, he read books, he did all of the things to work on himself. Is he perfect? No, he's not. And neither am I. But we are one of the older couples in here that's only been married for 4 years. We've only been together for 4 years. And when I was single, I made all the bad decisions, and then I said, okay, God, I'll stop trying to do this by myself. And I made a list of what I wanted my husband. And the first thing was, I want a man of God. Do I want a guy that goes to church? No. I want a man of God. Because there is a difference between a man that goes to church and a man of God. And if you don't know the difference, then you probably don't need to be married until you figure that out. I'm just not trying to step on anybody's toes. Pray specifically for what you want. I had a list, and God met all of those through him, plus things that I didn't know that I needed that he had for me, and vice versa. And so if you are single and you just feel like being married will fix all of it, it won't. So get your crap together. Work on yourself. Make your list and pray, and you wait on God, because God's timing is always different from our timing. And you just have to be okay with who you are in God and work on that, and then the rest will come.
That's right. And actually what she's saying is scriptural. What does the Bible say in Matthew 6:33 is, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you as well. Seek God.
You can seek for a spouse, and it's okay to want a spouse, but you better be careful what you're seeking, because you will get it. Meaning you could settle for the wrong person and you'll get it. But just like the children of Israel, what did they do? They sought for a king. God says, nope, you don't want a king. And they said, no, we want a king. And they lived through hell from that point on, right? Other than when King David was their king, and it started with Saul, the very first king. And so you might get what you don't want, but you might pay the price too. And so the truth is that's why seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And God will bring that man, that woman of God to you that is for you.
That's right. And Tracy was saying that seek God. And then when you look for that spouse, again, is he seeking God or is she seeking God? Because you don't want that marriage to come together and then you're trying to get this all figured out. You want them to already have that relationship.
I want to, though, wrap this up with one thing. They said, enjoy the small things. And you guys, I can't tell you, it is those small things that I love that Aaron does. He just texts me. The man is sick. And he just texts me. And there was something y'all said. And he said, I want you to know, I love doing life with you every day. You guys, it's those small things that mean the world to us. And so I think so often we can't wait for our kids to grow up, or we can't wait for this and we can't wait for that. And we are hoping our life away. We are wishing our life away. But it's truly, I love every day I get to wake up next to that man that I get to call my husband. Enjoy every moment, because when today goes, and this is what I tell my boys all the time, there will be a day you wake up for the very last time. You want to enjoy those little moments. Love you guys. Thank y'all so much for coming and being a part of this.
Well, we hope that was a strength and an encouragement to you and in your marriage. And, you know, if anything that we talked about tonight that just struck a chord with you and you in your personal life or in your marriage, and you need prayer, you can reach out. You can reach out to us and we'll pray for you. You can go to our website, sundaynightlive.org. My email address is in there. Email me. Or if you just want to email us and let us know how much you enjoyed it or didn't enjoy it, we would like to hear from you. But tonight, we just pray that you have a blessed week this week. We pray that your marriage is strong, and we just say goodnight, everybody.